everybody, to Psychology Today. This is your host, Dr. Herbert von Zeichendorf.
And this is Dr. Wolfgang von Wolfgangsen.
Guten Tag.
Hola.
Oh, that's the wrong podcast, isn't it?
Oh, this is the Louisiana Trail Report.
This is the Louisiana Trail Report. I'm your co-host, Brad Caldwell, with the Wild Azalea.
And this is Mike Prayer with the Screaming Monkey 100 and the Old School at Lincoln Parish Park.
Michael, it's beer time.
It is beer time. On the Louisiana Trail Report, we spotlight Louisiana trails.
Yes,
and
we
also have spotlighted Louisiana beer. So when we talk about Louisiana trails and trail races and trail runners and race directors, we drink a Louisiana beer. What do we got this week, Brad?
So I'm going to open up your Igloo Playmate.
Mm-hmm. And I have a 1970.
I was going to say, this thing's like circa yellow, 1958.
Yeah. I have a green one, too. I'm looking for all the colors.
So give me the hammer.
Igloo Playmate in a bizarre color. I'm into it.
I've got to use a hammer to open this thing up.
I mean, Playmate cooler.
Playmate
cooler.
Oh.
Let's clarify that. Also the other. I'm into that too.
Yeah, you should have clarified that. So
just the cooler.
Here we go. So Michael, you ready?
I am ready.
This is your beer.
Oh, Trail Dog. I love it. A tangerine wheat ale. I love wheat ales.
You really?
So delicious.
This is Trail Dog from the Huckleberry Brewing Company in beautiful downtown Alexandria, Louisiana.
I saw a post just this week about Huckleberry Brewing Company. I really didn't know about them, so I'm excited that we've got somebody brewing beer down in Alexandria, Louisiana.
They're not exactly downtown Alexandria, but we're just going to say.
I think I said down in. Not
Downtown. But I said downtown.
Everything is downtown.
Well, we are downtown. The Runwild Studios.
We are not downtown.
Well, we're close to it. I think I can see a skyscraper. So, Michael, you're going to open your beer. Do like I do. Open it in front of the microphone.
Wait, let me do the tap.
Do I describe it first, or do we just do it?
Well, it's a tangerine wheat beer, is what it says. It's got a cool... I love the gray of the can.
Yes.
And it's got a cool dog smoking a pipe on it.
That's even better. It is basically a summer beer, is what I've been told. That's a beautiful go.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
I promise not to go, woo, like some people. Here we go.
Okay. It's a summer beer.
That is nice. I definitely taste tangerine.
You do?
Right off the bat.
Is it smooth drinking?
I have to take another test.
Okay.
Taste test. Here we go. That is very smooth. Is very good.
So would you consider this, they call it a summer beer, but could this be an anytime beer?
This is an anytime beer for me, definitely.
Okay.
It's a 5.5% alcohol per volume.
Yes.
I mean, it's got a cool little, lantern on it, too, that I just now am noticing. It says Senlo for Central Louisiana.
That is correct.
And that is a cool looking... He's got a Huckleberry Finn hat on, the little dog does, when he's smoking a pipe.
It is a really cool logo, don't you think?
It is cool. It is nice.
And we're drinking one pint. So Huckleberry is located on Sturks Road in Alexandria. They have a tap room. I have not
Do they have food there?
They do. They have hors d'oeuvres. This is a shout out to my banker buddy, Tracy Alltag with Cadence Bank. He's not a drunk banker, but he likes to go to the tap room. And my buddy, shout out to my buddy Bob Pulaski, retired Coleco, Balloon Bob, flies balloons. Mm-hmm. He speaks highly of their tap room. So if you're in Alexandria, go to Huckleberry Tap Room and enjoy not only Trail Dog, but they've got an Upriver IPA. They've got a three-card stout. And I'm told Riverboat Raz is their most popular. And we'll have to test that one.
I am going to put this on my list of places to go because I do love craft beer. And there are a couple trails in the Alexandria area that I want to explore in the early part of the summer.
Claiborne. That's it, Claiborne.
Oh
right?
Yeah. And there's some others. There was that one that I sent you the picture on that was like that short trail we were talking about.
We did. You're right. You did. Nina, and we're going to get to the trail report later on. So overall, let's do the Michael.
The scale. Man, this is a solid 4. I'm going to go 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, out of 5. Solid 4. Very enjoyable beer. I mean, very drinkable.
You like the name?
I do like the name. The can is awesome. The tangerine is up front, but mm-hmm. not in your face. And I do like wheat beer. So it's a winner for me.
Okay, I'm going to... Oh, man. This is... Now, again, you're talking to somebody who has no knowledge of beers whatsoever. I'm not a recovering alcoholic like you are.
I'm not recovering.
Oh, that's right. You're
I'm
not because you're drinking.
Oh, I'm still alcoholism.
Yeah. Oh, you're still drinking. Okay, so 4.5.
Wow, that is the highest score on the Louisiana Trail
so far. This is a really good beer, y'all.
Wow,
it's
Brad
good.
Has gone out there.
I know.
Down a 4.5.
Boom.
Woo.
I think I've kept my man card.
It's a good beer. That was a good choice this week, so I'm proud of you for making
Thank
a
you.
Good choice. And
Thank
you have
I
good
try.
Friends who know beers that probably guided you towards this
well,
decision.
Well, so my banker, Tracy, mm-hmm. guided me toward this. Okay, so the only other person that knew about this was yours and my buddy, Lane Grimion. And I told him, and he said, very good choice. Very good summer beer. Now, I'm told by my banker buddy that this is a very popular beer in the Baton Rouge area. I don't know if that's true or not, because Baton Rouge has probably got a lot of good beer down there with the beat and everything.
It's really emerged in the last couple of years as a good beer scene.
So, Huckleberry is a really cool little brewery in Alexandria, Louisiana. Check it out.
Yes, please go check out Huckleberry. I'm definitely going to go check it out in the next couple months.
We're cool. Okay, Michael, let's start. What we got?
All right, so we are going to do a quick recap of the old school at Lincoln Parish Park that happened last weekend.
Well, we are, but let's do that. But first, you know, since you did not do the promo with me and my hydration pack, can we just discuss my concerns about my hydration packs?
Okay, so before we get into the hydration pack, before we get into the old school, we're going to talk about the hydration pack. We mentioned this on the a recent episode of the Louisiana Trail Report. I had gone on a run with Brad to the Monkey Trails, and we were doing an 8-mile run, and he was wearing a hydration vest.
I know.
With bladders. I've become known as for just carrying a water bottle in a koozie.
You do.
Like a 16-ounce water bottle, and that'll get me anywhere 10 and under with no problems.
But not me.
And you were wearing that vest. And I think it's cool to wear the vest because you gotta try out this gear for these long distance runs. You gotta try them out on the shorter distance runs.
I just don't consider 8 miles to be a long distance run.
So recently, I had purchased from Run Wild in Alexandria an orange mud holster style water thing, container system or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a double holster one, and it just goes around your shoulders. And I tried it out on a 13.1 mile half marathon on flat, that Hearts Island road that we like to ride bikes on.
That's a whole nother
6.5 miles, and you turn around and you go back.
We call it highway to hell.
Yeah, basically is what it is. It's flat, straight, and boring as can be.
Yes,
but it's great because it's good practice to just get for tedium. Tedium can sometimes be good practice. And so I wore that orange mud, and I know a lot of people love orange mud, and I probably will get something eventually that I love from orange mud, but this I did not like. But other people will. So I had to try it.
Yeah.
I had to try it on that shorter distance to see if it's for me, and it's not for me. Like with your hydration vest, you've got to experiment with these things, man.
Yeah, I know. So I bought that vest for the sole purpose of when last year at this time, we ran, hiked rim to rim to rim in that day. What a day. And I did a lot of training in it. But I just, and I remember you and I had gotten, this is another good topic we need to talk about later on perhaps, are cemetery runs. You hooked me up on cemetery runs. We now love cemetery runs. There's a cemetery in Shreveport that's hilly. We've gotten at least half a marathon in that cemetery run before. And so you took a picture of me training for my rim to rim to rim. We have just done the cemetery run.
It's on our list. We have it on our list of topics.
We have it. Okay, we'll talk about it later. But the focus is the hydration pack. I looked at me in that hydration pack. I wasn't happy with my manhood, honestly. I just wasn't happy with it. And so I wore it again, but I did wear it on the rim to rim to rim. It worked fine, great. But an 8-miler at the Monkey Trails at a slow pace, I think I should have left it in the car.
No, I mean, I really think you made the right decision because it's practice. You know, okay. So you have to practice like you're going to play the game. And okay. If you're going to play the 30-mile game, and you're going to be wearing that vest for 30 miles, then you need to practice with that vest on. So what I think it was the right call.
I'll end it with this. We had a lady do Wild Azalea this year, 50-miler. And, you know, we, of course, accommodate them, the 50-milers, with a drop bag. And so she came to pick up her registration information and her T-shirt and whatnot. And I said, by the way, my buddy Lane Grimion, he's the 50-mile coordinator. And just bring your drop bag that morning, and he'll leave it at the halfway point. And she went, I don't need no stinking drop bag. I thought, wow, this is a woman. This is cool.
Well, apparently I'm a woman, too, because I didn't need a drop bag
yet. Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
No.
I thought you... Really? They said you had like 4 drop bags.
No, that is false.
Really?
False information.
Wasn't that you in the tutu with the drop bag?
Oh, wait. That was me. Never mind.
Okay.
I did wear a pink tutu.
Okay. All right. So there we go. We've settled that issue. Now we're going to get to the real deal. Michael, go.
All right. So we had the old school at Lincoln Parish Park in Ruston. And so this is a, you know, in a previous episode, we talked about dumb questions you get asked as a race director.
Oh, and I got one. Yeah.
A friend of mine said that she got contacted by another friend of hers who was coming to the race because she didn't know where the race was.
How do you not know?
The name of the race is where the race is. It's called the old school at Lincoln Parish Park.
Do these people not have GPS or Google Maps or anything like that? What are they?
So
what are they living in the 50s?
Happy ending. She's from Arkansas, actually. The
really?
Asking, but yeah, the old school at Lincoln Parish Park is at Lincoln Parish Park, and if you just Google it, it will come up. Or if you put it in your map app, it will come up. But it was a great race. It was a pretty day, a little warmer than I would have liked, but not terribly warm. Don't you think, Brad?
Yeah, probably so. It was started out nice, but the temps did get up there, and I'll let you finish because also the course was a little bit more difficult this year, right?
All right, so yeah, that's a good topic to talk about. So on my way there, the director of the park texted me and said, hey, by the way, wanted to let you know that there's been some changes recently because we have a big mountain biking event coming up, and the Piney Hills Classic has been moved apparently to the spring. It used to be in the fall, I thought, but now it's in the spring. So the mountain bikers want to have a lot of opportunities for spectators to see them, you know, because they, ooh, look at me, everybody. We're not quite like that.
No, we're not.
But anyway, so the mountain bikers have plenty of opportunity for spectators. And so they changed the course a little bit. So he said there's been some changes. So I got there, I arrived, and I had run it a month and a half before, and it was just like it always was. So I was anticipating a pretty similar course to what I normally do. And so this changed the course. So I definitely had some issues there because they made some changes that I was not aware of, and I had to make some changes on the fly or just go with what they had. And I eventually just had to go with what they had because changing it would have been taking way too long and a lot of marking stuff.
Because when I was driving in that evening before, I noticed all this tape, this stuff, and I thought, God, Michael has really done a lot of work.
Because I
went to your house right before you left around noonish, and then I got there. I said, man, he did a lot of work in 5 hours.
Okay, so the tribulations of a race director. So I would have liked to have been at the park around noon, but I was still here in Shreveport at noon. I had some issues with getting the medals on time or early. So I didn't get them until like 11:30. So I didn't really get to leave when I wanted to.
Right.
And so that put me behind. And by the time I got to the park, I found out there were changes. I set some stuff up. Then it was time for packet pickup.
Yeah.
And y'all, I hadn't marked a lick of the course.
That is true.
So after the packet pickup ended at 6:30 or 7.
Yeah.
A friend, Shelly Sparks from Farmerville, Louisiana.
We wanted to mention Shelly and her husband, James,
yes,
on this episode.
They were a sponsor.
Good
Johnny's
people.
Pizza was a sponsor, and James works for Johnny's. And so I appreciate them
super,
being a sponsor.
Super
and
folks.
Shelly will do anything
she will.
That you to help promote ultra running and running. She loves trail running.
Shelly, I consider her the queen of Louisiana ultra running in terms of
primarily she runs in Arkansas.
But for some reason, Shelly, come on, Shelly, you live in Farmerville. Come on, for crying out loud!
It's very close to Arkansas.
Yes,
though, in her
but
defense.
I like Shelly. The reason I really like Shelly is because I really, really have got a bro crush on James. I'm going to say it.
He's a cool guy.
On her husband. Mm-hmm. He's a great... I got a bro crush on him.
Okay.
He came up to me before the race, and I got a little tingly.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You might want to look into that a little bit more.
I think I'm going to have to look into it, because he's a good guy. And Shelly's a great gal and good people. Shelly will do anything for you, and she helps you out tremendously. So kudos to Shelly Sparks.
Yes.
And James Sparks.
So thank you, Shelly, for helping out, because after the packet pickup, she helped me mark about 3.5 to 4 miles of trail.
She did a great job. And so we're not going to call this individual's name. I'm not going to mention the name.
I did have a friend.
He has a friend. I have a friend that was supposed to be your right-hand guy, helping you on everything. He didn't show up. We're going to call him out. He didn't come out. He didn't show up. We would like to, at this point, we'd like to address all the other race directors in Louisiana. We want to do a prisoner exchange with one of your key volunteers, with this guy.
I don't know if he's a key volunteer.
Well, we want to do a prisoner exchange. So, you know, Edie, Fawn, Cesar, Walker, all you folks out there. Mark.
I'm going to call him out. His name,
we're going to do a prisoner
Todd,
exchange.
And his trail name is Absent T.
Todd.
So if the guy's trail name is Absent T, what do you expect?
We want to do a prisoner exchange with Todd.
No, we're not.
Yes, we do.
Exchange. Nobody will take him. He's ours. He is ours. God love him.
So Edie,
kind of love him.
Edie, Cesar,
but yeah,
Walker,
he didn't show up.
Fawn.
That would have been a big help had he been there.
Call me. We'll do the prisoner. We'll do a bridge. We'll do the real deal. We'll go to a bridge somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll walk him out.
Yeah, with a blindfold. You get your what? Hey, let's ask Fawn, the lady that does the toes.
They will not trade somebody.
What's her name?
Like
we
that.
Want her. We want her. They
Georgie.
Can take Todd.
They will not give us Georgie for Todd.
We'll meet at the. Let's see.
Wait, how much cash do we have?
We don't have
if
any.
If we can get some cash together, maybe we can get a Georgie for a Todd. Gonna have to be cash.
Oh
involved.
Man, we're gonna have to find a bridge somewhere between here.
We can find a bridge. That's not a problem.
And Lafayette, and we're gonna let's do it at night.
Yes.
midnight.
Yeah, midnight.
And we'll pull up on our side. Y'all pull up on your side. We'll send Todd out.
If
he shows up, that's right. If he shows up, you send your person out. We'll do a prisoner exchange. Thank you.
All right. So anyway, I got about 4 miles of trail marked with Shelley, and then I said, Shelley, you're running tomorrow. You need to go. And so I marked a couple more miles of trail, and then sometime around, this is 11 o'clock at night now, a storm moved in, like a bad lightning storm. So I'm like, not doing it out here in the lightning and whatnot. So I went back and I slept in the pavilion.
Right.
Where the race was kind of hosted at. And I woke up at about 2:30 in the morning, and I lay, no, 2:15, and I laid there for about 30 minutes. And finally I'm like, well, if I'm not going to sleep, I need to just get up and work.
I know.
And
I
so
know
I did.
Feeling.
And so I got up at like 3 in the morning, and I was out marking about 4 miles of the trail in the dark at night.
Yeah.
At like 3 in the morning of the day of the race.
Gosh, I have
but
done.
That's what you got to do sometimes.
That's I was going to say.
Behind. There was nothing I can do. I don't live where the race is. It's an hour and a half from where I live. And like I said, things were different with the course than what I was expecting. So when day broke and the runners took off, thank goodness the course was marked adequately, or no one really got lost from the course markings. It worked out good, but the course was long. And did we mention this race was on April Fool's Day, Brad?
It was on April. Was it at Lincoln Parish Park?
It was at Lincoln Parish Park on April Fool's Day. So even though it was long, you can always just say, well, April Fool's.
April Fool's.
It was 11 and a half mile, 10 mile run.
But that's what I love about trail runners and trail running. It was okay with everybody.
I think it was okay with 95% of the people. And that's cool.
So in other words, you had thousands of satisfied customers.
No.
You had maybe two that were pissed off at you.
Well, you know what? We actually, this is the third year of the race, and we had 140 runners, which is our highest amount we've had.
That's a good number.
And I was really happy with it. And I just want to say thank you to all the people who came. The Rustin, Farmerville, Shudrant, West Monroe, Monroe.
Yes.
People really showed up. We had, 20 people from Shreveport, 22 people from Shreveport go over.
Had a nice Ellet group pump
we
come up.
We had a beautiful group from Ellet come.
We sure
and
did.
And they took a bunch of hardware home with them.
They did. And, you know, so we, you know, Michael got to meet the aforementioned, so-called Philip York, who, you know, but, and so Philip and my, well, we'll call him Philip.
I will trade you one Todd T for Philip York.
I don't think Alec will do that.
Okay.
I don't, because I've talked about Todd absentee and that, but Tony Rawson, who heads up the Tuesday night Alec Run Group, which I'm a member of, and I show up every Tuesday night because I spend the first part of my week in Pineville at my office in my man cave. So anyway, they showed up. Great. Josh Jenkins, a shout out to Josh.
Oh, yeah.
He finished
Josh
second.
Did a great job.
Great job. Brandon Callahan and Lauren Callahan, I've always shout out to those folks. Great
Brandon
folks.
Started late and
he
still
started,
did well.
He still did well. And then, but Keith Pittman.
Yeah. He's a beast.
He's a beast.
From Minden, Louisiana.
From Minden. Keith, you're a beast.
Good job, Keith. Yeah. All right. So thank you, and I wanted to mention real quick that the race does benefit Christian Community Action of Lincoln Parish, and we gave them a nice check.
You did.
And we're happy to partner with them, and so that's something I really want to continue moving forward with is having them as a charity partner.
One quick story before I end. So before we end Lincoln Parish Park, old school. So I'm at the start line, and I'm, as everybody who knows me knows, and you can even ask folks.
One more story after that, by the way.
Okay. Like Nikki Kendall knows this. Well, I'm not a morning person.
This is true. You made that announcement several times.
I'm not a morning person. Yes. And I'm kind of grumpy in the morning. And our friends like Teresa Parker, Nikki Kendall, you know this, other people know this about me. So I'm sitting there talking to Lane Grimion and my partner at Run Wild, Billy McRae. They both drove up from Ellic. And so a guy walks up and says to the three of us, "Hey, is there a Strava map that I can download for this course?"
Really?
Yes. And I thought, and so I said to him, "Dude, do you know the name of this event? It's the old school. We don't do stinking Strava." See, I need my medicine. I'm getting excited again. And then I'm wearing Muck boots. I love my Muck boots. I don't know why. It's a shout out to Muck boots. I'm wearing my
sponsor of the Louisiana Trail Report.
Hopefully so. And I looked at him. I showed him my Muck boots. I said, "Feller, back in the day, we ran in Muck boots at this time." Yeah. And so he was taken aback. I was on edge. And, yeah, I called him out.
Well, it ended up being a great day. So thank
There's
you
no
to,
Strava download.
Thank you to Edie Amon for coming up.
Edie
from
and Randy
South
came
Louisiana.
Up. They did, absolutely. We got a nice pic with Edie.
Oh, it was so nice. Yeah, we did. It was so nice to see them.
She's so much nicer than you and
me. I wanted to thank Howard Suggs, who is not intimidating or scary.
Howard scares me, man. No. I don't know, dude. I've known the guy now for years. I'm kind of terrified of him.
He's the nicest guy. And then also, thank you to our friend Kim Muller, who has a race coming up this weekend.
Saturday, the Burn Run.
Yes.
Kim's
so
a
I
sweet
will be there
gal.
Marking the course. You'll be there timing it, and I'll be running it as well.
Is James signed up for it? Because, you know, I want to see if I can get some time with James.
I don't know. Maybe
James Shelley. Maybe James.
Text James? I have his number.
See, James
I can share
come.
It with
I
you.
I like spending time with James. I don't know. I just do.
We can ask if James is coming over.
Okay, thank you. All right. It would mean a lot to me.
So thank you, and also thank you to my family, my wife and kids, who will probably never listen to the Louisiana Trail Report.
They will never listen to the Louisiana
Trail. Okay, so this is funny, though.
Yeah.
When I started the Facebook page for the Louisiana Trail Report, I didn't tag my wife because I went through tagging all the people who I think would be interested.
You didn't tag your wife?
I didn't tag her. So then she griped at me about not tagging her. "What are you trying to keep me from seeing?" or whatever. All right, and so then we started the podcast, and she hasn't listened to a single episode of the Louisiana
Jennifer,
Trail Report.
What?
Has your wife listened to an episode of the Louisiana Trail Report?
Patty has not listened to one episode.
Okay, so, well, maybe they could get together.
Maybe
and listen,
maybe
to,
listen
an
to it together.
A Louisiana Trail Report.
Because Patty just says, and my daughters just say, this is something that old white dudes do. I don't know why they said that, but that's what they do. Why
that's
is that?
Kind of the attitude my daughter
really.
Had about that.
Yeah, podcasts, that's what old white dudes do. Yeah. So, anyway, all right.
All right, so we talked about the old school at Lincoln Parish Park. And I've already picked a date for it next year. I think it's April 6th, which is the first Saturday in April next year. If you haven't done it, come on up. The course, although changed, it was a really good course. People liked it. I'm going to try to cut it back to actually be a 10-miler next year instead of an 11.25. But,
we'll
you
do
know,
it. Yeah.
We got some room for improvement.
Yeah.
All right, what was the next topic
hopefully
we're going to talk about today, Brad?
Hopefully we will have done that prisoner exchange by
Maybe
this time
so.
Next year. Michael, is it – so here we are in April, mid-April, right? So are we getting out of trail season? Is it too hot to hit the trails? Is it too hot to do a trail race?
A lot of trail races move to the nighttime during this time of the year.
Right.
Especially in the South where it's so hot. I my miles go from about 30 to 40 miles a week down to about 6 to 10 miles a week during the summer.
No, I get it. I get it.
I just hate summer running.
Yeah.
I don't like the performance decreases, and I try to find other things to do during the summer.
Right.
Other hobbies to occupy my time. I don't acclimate well to the heat, and I'm very white, and I don't respond well to the sun.
That's why I'm wearing sunshades right now.
Yeah.
You're blinding me, dude.
Oh, man. You're like Stevie Wonder over there.
I know. You're blinding me. Yeah, I think I think there's a certain point where I agree it gets too hot, too steamy, and you either got to do it. If you don't do it early in the morning at daybreak or something like that, you're done.
And then you get the whole problem with the deer flies and the ticks and whatever else.
Exactly.
And mosquitoes.
And did I say that I'm not a morning person?
And you're not a morning person. So
no.
You would be running in the evening into darkness.
No, I'm not a morning person. I'll drink my coffee.
So we want you to try to stay in good shape during the summer. And if you're not running as many trails in the summer, we understand.
Absolutely.
Some people are even deterred by the snakes. The snakes don't bother me as much. Mm. And if you end up being caught running in the middle of the day when it's really hot, the snakes aren't out anyway.
They're not. And what bothers me more than snakes are spiders that make webs across the trail in the middle of the night. That's why I never like to be the lead runner.
Well, and you're kind of tall.
That's another bad thing about being tall, is I hit my head on everything. Dude, could we have time to talk about that?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this
one.
Yeah,
not really. Okay, so the consensus is that it's okay to just hang the trail shoes up in the heat of the summer and then pick them back up.
I mean, just don't feel bad about not running as much trails in the summer as you do at other times.
Michael, let's jump forward. We know we have some exciting news, especially in our area of the state.
That's true, Brad. We really do.
We do. And I'll let you talk about it. We can't divulge too much information, but
so I have a contact that I can't divulge right now, but will be in on a future episode of the Louisiana Trail Report.
What can we call him?
We can't call him Philip York.
No, we can't do Philip York. That's
How
been
about
taken. Or Todd.
Romeo.
Romeo.
So Romeo tells me that a public institution has closed on a tract of land in northern Louisiana.
Yeah.
And are in negotiations right now with trail designers to get this property ready for the public for mountain biking, hiking, trail running, fishing, recreating of all kinds.
Whoa.
So we will probably in the next month and a half, be able to speak with this individual who will give us more details about where the property is, who's funding it, how it's going to be managed, and what it's going to look like moving forward.
Man, that's great. Do we know the length of the trails? Do we know anything about that? Not sure.
Well, that depends on the trail design team, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's going to be in the northern part of Louisiana.
Yeah.
In fact, the northwest part of Louisiana.
Right.
And so, I hate to say it, but the rich are getting a little richer.
Yeah.
Which is good for us.
It's good for us.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
And which makes a Louisiana runcation. To Shreveport Bossier.
A runcation.
A really good option.
Did you invent that word?
I did. I invented runcation.
Oh, my God.
Runcation. I'm liking to say I did.
Man, oh, by the way, I have finished my trail dog.
You did? I think this is the first time you ever finished a beer before
okay.
I finished
so
a beer.
So, technically, it's not all the way done because I think the last, like, millimeter is nothing but spit, and I'm not really interested in drinking my own spit, okay? So I'm calling it officially done.
Well, I've got about an eighth of a can left, so you definitely.
I'm done. I got a little bit of spit. I'm not doing it. So I beat you.
I'm done. No spit left behind.
Oh, sick. You don't drink your spit.
I just turned it up and drank it.
Oh, you don't drink spit. You leave a little
ounces.
Bit.
No.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, there's probably a couple.
I leave it.
Check it.
That's fine.
Okay.
There's a little bit of spit. You're good.
All right. So we talked about the old school Lincoln Parish Park. We talked about your high dressing vest that you use.
Yeah.
As for practice, and that's cool.
Trail dog.
Uh-huh.
It's up
we
there.
We talked about the beer.
Yeah.
We didn't do a trail profile for today.
No, we didn't.
And your friend Lane.
Yeah.
Wants us to do a trail profile of one of his favorite trails.
Backbone Trail.
All right. So we're going to talk about that. And Backbone Trail, and I don't know why all trails list it as being in this place, but it lists it as It looks like Cloutierville if you were driving through, and a Yankee would say Cloutierville.
Yeah, you would say that.
But it's not Cloutierville.
No, it's not Cloutierville.
And it's taken me quite a long time to figure out how to say it after several people.
So go ahead and say it. Say it.
Cloutierville.
Thank you.
So Cloutierville is Cloutierville.
It's like Hooterville. What was it? What was the name of the not Hooterville? That's
Hooterville. Oh, my mind's Let's
going,
go.
Well, my mind is going really bad. What was the name of the town in the Andy Griffin show? That's Mayberry.
That's a little but there before was another, my time.
There was another town called. Well, anyway, I'll think of it. Yeah, it was Hooterville. That was Petticoat Junction.
Also before my time.
Petticoat Junction. Ooh, ooh. And there's Uncle Joe. He's a moving mighty slow at the junction. No.
Sorry.
Petticoat Junction.
All right, so the Backbone Trail is in the Kisatchee National Forest.
Why do they call it Backbone?
I don't know why they call it the Backbone Trail.
Yeah, I don't either.
So it's a little over 14 miles long. And when we told you about the Caroline Dormont Trail and where that cool pit toilet is, that's
love,
the same parking lot
love pit
that you
toilets.
Park at for the Backbone Trail. So depending on the direction you want to go on the Backbone Trail, you're either going to you're going to have to endure a 2 mile road walk.
Right.
Yeah. And so to make it a true loop, you have to do the 2 mile road walk. Brad just dropped his mic.
I dropped my mic.
And that he drank the whole beer. He never done that before.
I let there's a spit zone in it, but I did.
So it's a 14-mile trail. It's in the Kisatchee National Forest in the Red Dirt Wilderness area. And it's just a really cool trail. Brad, it's got what I call escarpments on it. Rock escarpments.
Yes.
And so you can see them while you're hiking the trail. And there's also another trail that intersects it. There's a couple trails. Actually, one of them's called the High Ridge Trail, which kind of like goes off of it and doesn't really go anywhere. And there's another one called the Turpentine. So okay. If you start where the Caroline Dormont Trail is and you access the trail right there and save the road walk for later, you'll go about 3 miles and then you'll come to where the Turpentine Trail intersects the Backbone Trail. And if you were to go right there, Brad,
okay.
I've hunted out there before.
Have you?
Uh-huh.
You deer hunted out there?
And so if you go right there, about a mile and a half later, you come across this great camping spot on the top of a hill. It's probably like a 125 feet high hill right there in the wilderness area. And it's just beautiful. And there's spots to put up hammocks and stuff right there. And you can see really far by Louisiana standards from that point right there.
Sure, sure.
All right, so, but if you don't go on the Turpentine Trail and you stay on the Backbone, there's still camping spots if you were hiking.
Okay.
But it's a very runnable trail to do in a day if you're a person who can run a 14-mile trail in a day.
Right. So would it be classified as moderate?
Oh, I think moderate is an excellent way to describe that trail.
Okay.
Not a whole bunch of rocks. The trail is very well marked.
Right.
And it is very well trafficked. So you'll probably come across one or two other people either day hiking or backpacking on the trail while you're running it.
Sure. Well, and it's yeah. Well, I mean, I've did it. Oh gosh. Beer. I've done it years ago, and my memory's fogged, but I remember it to be kind of moderate. It wasn't that bad. I think we did it almost backwards than everybody else did, I think.
Yes.
Anyway, so.
So this trail is listed on All Trails, and you can also, I'm pretty sure if you enter it on your map app, it will come up. Just type in Backbone Trail,
right,
and it will come up. It's easy to get to. It's easy to access. I mean, we've already told you before, the Caroline Dormont Trail's right there. Backbone Trail's there.
Yeah.
There's the Turpentine Trail's there. If you really wanted to get froggy, the Sandstone Trail's nearby, and that is a really long trail.
Yeah.
There's plenty of trail running opportunities. Oh, Brad, and there's tons of gravel roads. If you want to run some gravel roads, knock yourself out.
I'm glad you mentioned that because gravel running, man, I'm telling you, you got miles and miles if you want to do that. If you want to get off the trail and run gravels, dude, that's another wonderful thing about these trails. I'm just saying.
There's some races in Arkansas, Brad, that are largely gravel road. So if you've got an Arkansas race coming up that's a gravel road race, I can't think of a better place for you to train than out at the Kisatchee Wilderness area out there at the Red Dirt area.
Because there's
so many gravel roads. And you can mix it up with UTV trails on the Sandstone or on the Backbone or the Caroline Dormon.
You know, it's funny because gravel biking, because I said it right, is very popular now. So I wonder if there would be an offshoot of that, which is gravel running. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of trail races incorporate gravel.
Part of it, yeah.
I mean, I would do an all-gravel run.
I think I would, too.
So your friend Bobo used to do a gravel race out there in that area.
My college
Bobo Anderson, by the way.
Bobo Anderson, if you don't know him, that's a good thing.
You should, actually.
Bobo, yeah, we'll discuss Bobo later, but Bobo.
I want him to do another race out there because I so much enjoyed the time I went down
Bobo
there
is,
and had the jambalaya that was made by his relative.
Everybody who is triathlon oriented in the state of Louisiana or anything related to mountain biking or Bobo Anderson, my former college teammate at Louisiana Tech, is iconic, and everybody has to meet Bobo at least once in a lifetime. I've got another wheat one, but you opened up 318. You went from Alexandria to Shreveport.
I love Louisiana beers.
You did. Okay, so Backbone Trail, check it out. What else do we need to talk about, Michael? I got a lot of responses about. So I got called out at your race, the old school, which was at Lincoln Parish Park, in case you don't know where it is. It's easily Googleable. Googleable. Here comes our friend, Lane Grimion. He did the 20-miler. He comes in off his first loop. I'm sitting there timing the race, and what do I say to him?
I think you said good job.
Oh,
and I told several people good job myself.
He called me out, man. I think the folks, Stephanie with the Christian Coalition.
Yeah.
I think she
Christian
was.
Christian Coalition.
I think.
Christian Community Action.
That too. I think she was taken aback by the tone of Lane's voice. But I told her.
He scared her?
Well, so I later told her, because I found out Lane had given up drinking for Lent. I said, you know, when he gives up his beer, he's a little tough to deal with. So I think that had something to do with it. But he called me out on it. So I thought, you know, no one has really suggested alternatives. Well, we kind of threw some things out there. But I did hear a suggestion that maybe we should just use foreign languages to impart our good wishes to people. You know? Like, Pune Amera. That's Armenian for good job.
Oh.
Pune Amera, Michael. But that's like Italian.
It sounds Italian.
It sounds Italian.
It does.
And then as somebody that is fluent in Italian.
I am not fluent.
Yes, you are. I have been on the road with you, and you've been speaking Italian. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck, man?
I am a learner of Italian.
I'm
trying to take my wife on an anniversary trip when we have our 30th anniversary. So I have 2 more years to try to learn more Italian.
And that's sweet. Is this the wife that won't listen to our podcast?
The wife who won't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, this is her, Jennifer.
So she'll never know.
She'll never know.
I'm trying to learn Italian without telling her. So I'm learning it in secret.
Your secret is good.
Uh-huh.
It's still good.
Yeah, she won't know.
It's still good. So we were thinking, you know, a Gunta Arbeit.
What does that mean?
That's German. Okay, so if my buddy Egbert Jacobs
like that one. Gunta
listen,
Arbeit.
Guten Arbeit. If my buddy Egbert, who's German, listens to this, or our friend Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina. Hey, Sabrina. From overseas.
Sabrina
in
does
Germany.
Listen to us. I know, Sabrina. Sabrina knows that I speak fluent German.
Shout out to Sabrina. She's a good person.
Man, do we miss Sabrina?
She's great.
She's a great gal. Mm-hmm. And so that was another word.
And Lenny. Hey, Lenny.
Lenny.
Her
awesome.
Little boy. I'm sure her husband's great, too. I just didn't get to know him very much. But Lenny,
well,
good
we miss them all. So anyway, those are alternatives. I just go with my favorite is Ausgezeichnet, which is German.
That was from her.
Ausgezeichnet. Yeah. So if I see you and I say, Ausgezeichnet, Michael, you'll know that's like outstanding in German, I think. I think it means outstanding. And the first time I said it to our friend Sabrina, who is German, she's listening to us overseas, she kind of gave me that look like, dude, you have totally screwed this. And Egbert will do that for me too. But I kind of like the fact that I'm screwing the name up.
Yes.
But I think it's a great word. Ausgezeichnet.
I think I like to hear you say it.
So I'm going to start using Ausgezeichnet, Michael. Ausgezeichnet.
I like how my name changes from Michael to Michael.
Michael. Anyway, so yeah. So that's, I'm going to go with Ausgezeichnet.
All right. So, Brad, before we wrap up this episode of the Louisiana Trail Report.
Oh, too soon.
I know. Let's talk real quick about the mystery race that's coming up on April 22nd, which is Earth Day for all of you people. And I have to say, if you don't come to Shreveport-Bossier and run the mystery race on Earth Day, then you are a planet-hating son of a beep.
We are not even going to do a prisoner exchange with Todd. We're just going to drive him down and drop him off at your doorstep.
Yes, that's what we're going to do
if you don't sign up for the mystery race.
All right, so we're going to give you some deets on the mystery race. All right, so first off, it's held in Bossier Parish at South Bossier Park.
Yes.
And the people out at that park are so good and nice. They mark the course for us, and it's a 3-mile course, and you have some options. You can run a 3-mile, a 6-mile, or a 9-mile on a cross-country course.
Yes.
I mean, you don't get to run cross-country unless you're a kid. So, come on. That's a great opportunity. All right. So it's a break for your knees from running on the road. It's not quite trails, but it is a great course. And Brad, tell them about the special thing about the mystery race.
What makes it
a recycle run?
What is so cool is that it's cheap, okay? And for the cheap fee, you get a recycled t-shirt.
$20.
So when Michael and I put on races, okay, or we affiliated with races, there are leftover t-shirts, okay? So you will get a leftover t-shirt from a random race that was done either Red River Run in Alexandria, Wild Azalea,
Screaming Monkey,
Old School at where?
Lincoln Parish Park.
How do I get there?
Lincoln Parish Park in your map app.
Things like that. You'll get that. You'll get medals from other races, but we do have a sticker. You have a sticker.
We put a
mystery race sticker on it. It's a 3-mile loop. So at every loop, we have various sundries.
Yes, sundries. You have to look hard at Sam's to find the sundries.
You do.
Find them.
It's in section K.
Yeah.
W.
Mm-hmm.
And
on the top shelf.
On the top shelf. So we have various sundries along with plenty of hydration and food to eat at the end of every loop. So it's a 3-mile, it's a 6-mile, it's a 9-mile, and people, you gotta show up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great race. I mean, in Bossier does, Shreveport-Bossier area, 85% of the races in the Shreveport-Bossier area are in Shreveport.
Right.
I mean, that's just how it is. But we've got this race in Bossier, and if you're a trail runner, you're like, come on out. Come on, run the 9-mile.
Come on, man.
Nice run. There's a nice bayou that runs along the side of the park.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time. So come on out, Mystery Race, April 22nd, Earth Day. Like I said, you hate the environment if you don't come out to this race. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You're an environment hater. You're contributing to the problem that your children are going to have to deal with.
Is Todd coming?
He told me he would. So look for Todd.
Todd. Come on, Todd. All right.
If okay. he gets it for free, he'll be there.
He'll be there.
Okay. So probably not.
So we're wrapping this up. How far are we into this, Michael? An hour?
No. We are only 49 minutes in.
Dude, that's good. That's pretty good.
All right. So this has been Louisiana Trail Report episode, I don't know. Yeah. We're leaving that blank right now.
Yeah.
But hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Louisiana Trail Report. This has been Mike Prayer with the Old School at Lincoln Parish Park and the Screaming Monkey 100.
This is Brad Caldwell with the Wild Azalea Avita Zane.
And the Mystery Race. We're both with the Mystery Race.
Mystery Race. And happy trails, everybody.
All right, happy trails. Brad, play us out again. Thank you, sir.